Remain standing, we will do the affirmation of faith. Let me put that up, it's really on the screen. Let me see where it is. It's 880, yeah, there's...
Do you see the Nicene Creed, Jace, up there, 880,
in
the bottom?
Jace, can you see the affirmation of faith somewhere?
It's like the scripture and like everything else, but it should be...
It says affirmation of faith, scripture...
It's 880.
Yeah, Nicene Creed, here. I got it. So, do you want to do 880, if you don't mind? That's the Nicene Creed.
Okay,
yeah.
Sure.
So, usually, generally, we do the condensed version, the affirmation of faith. This is also called a process creed. But I came to read about the Nicene Creed, which was declared in Nicaea in 325 AD, which is the original creed, which is also in our book, page 880. That declares the divinity of Jesus Christ more firmly than the condensed version. So I thought, let's try that.
Yeah.
Okay, it may be a little different in some ways, but let us try that. I think we need to acknowledge Jesus Christ not only as the Son of Man, but He is the Son of God. He is the God Himself.
Amen.
So we need to affirm that, our faith also. So let us affirm our faith, Nicene Creed, together, if you are able. Jace, you got it? Let us pray, affirm our faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and maker of all things visible and invisible. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, one substance with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For our salvation He came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the living and life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated now. This is the time for our prayers, our concerns and blessings we share together and with each other and also with God. Let us share our prayers so that we can thank God for all the blessings that we have, and also bring our concerns and burdens and our sicknesses and sufferings and pain, because God is good in good times and also bad times. God is an unchanging God. He is the same yesterday, today and forever. So let us go to God in faith, trusting in his promises that he will answer our prayers according to his will and his time, which is much better than our time and our will. Believe me, sometimes we may not like it. We like to have our will, but God's will is always better. Leave it to him. So let us trust in God for our prayers as we go to him. If you turn with me to the back of the bulletin, the boxes listed there are our regular prayer items. Please keep this in your study room or Bible study place or prayer time, wherever you have daily, so you can remember these people and these items in your daily prayers. Continue to pray for these people, especially Jean McPrayer, Grace Haynes, Harry Basil, Carol Wayne, Jerry Raines, Sean and Amy Conway, Harry Crumlin, Ellen Bertolo. These are the people that we have been praying for. Wayne is doing much better here today, so probably we can take your name off.
Yes.
Yeah. And Carol is also here with us. Thanks be to God for that. Please remember Lou in our prayers. We don't know what happened to her today. Maybe she's also sick or something, so please remember him in our prayers. Pray for Gene Barrington, and he doesn't really like to announce too much. So I just wanted to bring it up. He's going on a procedure on Tuesday that they do something with his heart. So please pray for him and remember him on Tuesday particularly to have a God's special healing hand to be on him and to the doctors and the nurses who treat him there. And he said it's only like a 30-minute procedure, right? It could be. Okay, we'll keep you in our prayers. So God is good. And pray for our service workers, our military, fire, police, grocery clerks, trash workers, many, many others, farmers, construction workers, you name it. Many people are working behind the scenes every day to make our life comfortable. We sometimes don't recognize them, but at least on Sundays we do. And we remember them and pray for them and their families also. And pray for world peace, that leaders of the world will fear God when they make decisions, because it affects millions of people's lives. Some of them are not believers, but God can put fear of God in them, in their hearts, when they make decisions. If he can change Nebuchadnezzar's heart, there's nothing else, you know, there's nothing is impossible for God. Yeah. So let us remember all these world leaders when they meet together, that they will make decisions that will bring lasting peace, especially in Middle East and Ukraine and many parts of the world that going on. People are suffering daily, and not just death, but also daily lives are so miserable in Ukraine. In some parts of the world, they don't have drinking water. I mean, I read some articles that really touched me in Ukraine. The poor people are paying for nothing they have done, innocent people. So let us pray that God will change the hearts of these leaders, that it's affecting many people's lives. And also let us pray for our nation, our president, leaders of the Congress, governors, many others who make decisions. Their decisions also affect our lives on a daily basis. So let us pray that God will give them the wisdom to do the right things and the right decisions. And they will also fear God when they make decisions. And let us pray for our church. And God has given us this opportunity in this time of history to be here in this corner of coming, to do His work. Generations have passed before us worshipping in this church. This is our time. So let us pray that God will give us the faithfulness to do His work faithfully, reaching out to the people who are in need in many ways. So let us be the hands and feet of God in this community. Let us pray for all the churches around us, pastors, leaders of the churches around us, that God will give them also the guidance every day to serve this community faithfully. Pray for the world church at large, missionaries and many others spreading the love of Christ in many parts of the world, especially in the East and Middle East areas. It's not very easy to preach the gospel. Let's pray and lift up them every day in our prayers, that God will strengthen them with His Holy Spirit for the work that they are doing. Those are the prayer requests that I have. If I have missed anything, or anybody wants to call out any special prayer requests, it's time now that we can call out and add that to the prayer list. Anybody have anything special? If not, let us go to God in prayer. We'll spend a few moments in silent prayer where you can bring out your personal prayers silently if you need to. And then we'll close with a summarized prayer after that. Let us pray. Jesus said, "Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows." Merciful and gracious God, we come before you as your children with our prayers of blessings and also prayers of concerns and burdens. Thank you for the gift of life along with all the blessings that you give us every day. Your faithfulness is new every morning. Even when we falter and stumble, you are the one who holds us straight and lifts us up. We thank you for the many blessings you give us every day and keeping us safe in our goings and comings. In our sitting down and rising up, you lift us up every day, O God, and we thank you for that. We thank you for the many blessings that you give us through our family, our friends, our church, and all the people that we deal every day around us, Lord. Sometimes things may not turn out the way we like to, but you are the one who guides us every day so that we can trust in you, that everything will work together for good to them that trust in you. We come before you with our needs and burdens also, God, because many ways we are broken in bodies and souls and spirits. Some of us need healing in our bodies, O God, especially that the names that we have called out here today. We pray for Jean and Grace, Harry, Carol. We pray for Jerry, Sean and Amy Conway, and Harry Crumlin, Ed and Bartolo. We thank you for your continued presence and healing with them. We pray that you will be with them above all, give them peace in their families and their hearts. We especially lift up Jean Barrington into your hands, O God, as he's going for a procedure on Tuesday. We pray for your everlasting arms to hold him up, O God. Eternal God is our refuge. Underneath are the everlasting arms. Even when we fall, we don't fall to the ground, but we fall to the hands of God. We thank you for your promise, and we thank you for holding us in your eternal arms, O God. We pray that you will be with him and his family. Bless them with your peace during this time, that the procedure will be successful, that the doctors and the nurses who treat them have the right procedures that they do and give them the wisdom to do the right things. We thank you again for all the blessings that you give us every day through the medical science and hospitals and nurses. We pray for all of those who are in hospitals and nursing homes and in various ways looking for healing in their bodies. We pray that you will give them the grace that they need according to their situations. Above all, we pray for peace that passeth all understanding to rule their hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We pray for our service workers, our military, fire, police, our grocery clerks and delivery people and trash workers and many, many others. We thank you for their services. We lift them up also, God, and their families. Bless them, O God. Give them the grace to continue to do their work. And we pray for the world leaders, especially during this time of wars and problems happening around the world. We pray for your special grace upon them that we will fear God when they make decisions. Bring peace to the war-torn areas in Ukraine and the Middle East, O God. And a lasting peace and settlement. Only you can bring lasting peace to this world. Bless those who are working towards that and give them the guidance and the wisdom. We pray for our nation, our president, vice president, leaders of the Congress, governors, mayors, and many, many others who make decisions that affect our life, O God. Bless them with your wisdom, that they will be guided by the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, not human wisdom, but the divine wisdom that they need, that they can make the right choices and decisions every day to make our country better. Thank you again for guiding them in the past and continue to bless them, O God. We pray for our church and thank you for this opportunity that you've given us in this time of history to be here. Help us, Lord, to be faithful in doing the work with the opportunities that you have given us to do every day and to be caring and compassionate, to spread your love to a needy group around us that we need to serve. We pray for all the churches in this community, the pastors, the leaders, and all the works that they're doing. We pray for the church at large around the world, missionaries and many others who are spreading your love in many difficult parts of the world. Bless them with your grace. Strengthen them with the power of your Holy Spirit every day, Lord. Be with us today. We thank you for bringing Pastor Tim and his family with us here today. As we look forward to hearing the word from him, we pray that you'll speak to him and through him to us, that we'll open our hearts and receive the power of the word through your servant today. We look forward to your presence in our midst, Lord. In our holy communion that we partake today, Lord, let we share the love of Christ in this table, that before you, we are all equal in your sight as children of God. Help us to share that moment together, the precious time that you have given us as your children on the Lord's table. Bless us today, Lord, with your presence as we go from this place, that we'll be empowered more by the power of your word and your spirit, that we can be more powerful witnesses for you wherever you place us in the days to come. We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the ushers may come and take up the offertory, please.
Praise him, all creatures, hear me, O. Praise him. thank you for this beautiful day, and thank you for all the continued blessings on our lives and the gifts that you give us. And we pray that giving back some of these gifts, that you bless this offering to your service and keep us ever mindful of the needs of others. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Please remain standing, for the scripture reading today comes from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 25. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It is so good to be here this morning, to be back in this place, to see faces that I'm becoming very familiar with, and thank you guys that you keep on letting us come back in. You haven't locked us out yet. We really appreciate that. I'm going to get my glasses out here because Gene told me that the clock wasn't up there, so I got a warning about that. And I'm always turning over there to see that clock. So now I'm going to put my glasses on so I can see the clock on the computer. But I'm really thankful for this opportunity to share the Word of God with you, and also to take the Lord's Supper together. What a privilege that is always to celebrate communion. I have been studying in my own life and in other opportunities that I've had to teach and preach lately. I have been studying a lot in 1 Peter. And 1 Peter has become of late, I think, probably my favorite epistle. And within 1 Peter, the passage that we read this morning, right now, is my favorite part of this epistle. And I want to share with you today why that is. There's something very unique and powerful and necessary about the passage that we read this morning, that Lisa read to us. Because in that passage, it ties together two very important ideas about the cross, about who Jesus is. And those ideas, over the last recent stretch of church history, have in many places been separated. But they should never be. They should be always held together. And that's why this passage is so important today. Now let me introduce this passage by giving you, and this will be very brief, a little bit of church history. And I think it will give us a really appropriate introduction into Peter's text here. Back in the late 19th century and the early 20th century, can y'all hear me okay? My head's a little stopped up this morning, so I can't tell. There was a movement that came into American churches that was called liberalism, theological liberalism. This doesn't have anything to do with political stuff. Political liberalism, but theological liberalism. And in the 20th century, and then on down through even our present day, there's been a lot of emphasis in sort of the mainline liberal church, and I'm speaking in very general terms now, that was emphasizing the example of Christ to the detriment of Christ as our substitution. One of the ideas in liberal theology was that there needed to be more of an emphasis on Christ as our example, less of an emphasis on the gory details of the cross. On the other side of the spectrum, in more evangelical churches, or evangelical pastors within mainline denominations, there was kind of a counterbalance to correct that, a very strong emphasis on the substitutionary death of Christ, that Christ died for our sins. So over this period of church history in America, there has traditionally been an emphasis on some churches on the example of Christ, in other churches on the suffering of Christ for our sins. That's a huge problem. You know why that's a problem? Which one of those are true? Both. Exactly. So, is the liberal church emphasize the example of Christ to the exclusion of his death for our sins, they actually take away from the people that they minister to the very way of salvation. However, in the conservative, the evangelical church, of which I am proudly a part, as we have de-emphasized the example of Christ, in many cases, I would humbly submit to you, we have raised up followers of Christ who don't resemble Christ. Peter puts this issue to bed in this passage, doesn't he? Because in 1 Peter 2:21 to 25, Peter says, Christ is our example. And within the same breath almost, Peter says, Christ is our substitute. And dear friends, we need both of those truths. We need to wed those truths together in the contemporary church. Because if we leave out the suffering of Christ for our sins, we leave out the way of salvation. If we leave out the example of Christ for how we live our lives, we are in danger of building disciples that are disciples in name only. So let us look at this passage briefly this morning at both of these truths. First of all, Christ our example. If you look back at verse 21, if you're familiar with 1 Peter, you may recall that Peter is writing to a suffering church in the Roman Empire, a church that is suffering, beginning to suffer the pressures of persecution. They will soon, after Rome is burned, they will begin to suffer the actual loss of their lives for their faith. So they are a church in suffering. But in that suffering, Peter calls them to look at Christ's example. Look at verse 21 again. To this you were called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you may follow in his steps. The word that's used there in that text, if you look there at verse 21, that word example that is used there, it's a fascinating word in the original New Testament. It was a word that came from the discipline of education. And when I am kind of show my age here, when I grew up and went to elementary school, I don't think they call it that anymore, do they? There was up above the chalkboard, and we had a chalkboard back in those days, there was a banner that stretched across the room, and it had all the letters of the alphabet on it. Some of y'all, are you brave enough to show your age this morning and admit that you remember that? Well, the word that is used here for an example is sort of a predecessor of that. In the Greco-Roman days, when 1 Peter was written, there were the school children in those days would have been handed a tablet, and on that tablet, all the letters of the alphabet were raised. It was made of wax. And that's the word that Peter is using here for an example. And children in those days would take that wax tablet and they would learn to write their letters by carefully tracing the exact example of each letter. So for the Gentile world and the Roman Empire, the Latin letters would have been on their tablet. The Greek word is writing under. It's writing that is under their learning, and they are learning their letters by tracing every little move of the letters that are on the tablet. Peter uses that word as he writes to the persecuted church, and he says, Christ is your example. In other words, it's really a powerful image. You are to trace your lives after Christ. Christ is to be your pattern. Christ is to be your exemplar. In fact, we should go as far as to say that in the world of the New Testament, Christ is our only pattern. Christ is our only exemplar. Christ is the one that should shape and fashion our lives. And we shouldn't even have to say this out loud in the modern day church. But beloved, when the Bible tells us that we are called to follow Jesus, what it tells us is that we are called to become more like Him. Are you tracing your life after Christ? Is He your pattern? Are you becoming more like Him? That is the call that is upon our lives today. Every one of us that name the name of Jesus today, we are called to become more like Him. That should be the vocation of our lives, to be more like Jesus. Jesus said, in fact, in Luke 6 and 40, He said, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Paul conveys the same idea in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, when Paul writes to the church at Corinth, be imitators of me as I am an imitator of Christ, as I follow that pattern. So that's what Peter is pointing the suffering church to. He's saying, you've been called to this. In your present suffering, you have been called to go in the way of Jesus. You have been called to follow His pattern. You have been called to have your life shaped by the way of Jesus. So he points to the way that Christ suffered for them as a model for suffering. Now let's think about that for a few moments. I want us to think about just some of the broad outlines that Peter gives us here in this text. First of all, let's think about what Christ did not do. If in this text, if we could go down to verses 22 and 23, if in this text we hold up Christ as the pattern, let's look just for a moment first at what Christ did not do. And there's three things here actually that He did not do. He did not sin. He did not deceive. And He did not revile or threaten. Let's think about those. He did not sin. That should be our pattern. Now listen, we're never going to be perfectly sinless in this life, right? Let's get that clear. Let's wipe that out of the way. But if we claim to be followers of Jesus today, out of the abundance of His grace, His provisions for us, we should be people who hate sin, in our own lives. Notice I said in our own lives. I don't know about you, but I've discovered there's some quarters of the church that have become very adept at hating sin in other people's lives. But Jesus calls us to follow His pattern, to hate the sin in our life. I love in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, and this is really a very humorous image that Jesus paints here in the Sermon on the Mount. I'm sure you recall Him saying to those who heard Him that day, why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is sticking out of your own? I'm kind of paraphrasing that. But that's the, I'm glad to see somebody laugh at that, because Jesus used this type of broad, hyperbolic language to illustrate a point. You know, years ago when I was in high school, I worked for Marcus's dad building houses. And Marcus, you know how this is. You get a tiny little piece of sawdust in your eye, and it hurts, but you can't even see it. You can't even find it. And Jesus says, don't be the kind of person that's always poking in somebody else's eye, looking for the sawdust in there, when you've got this 2x4 that is extended from your own eye. To follow the way of Jesus is to hate the sin in our own lives. Now, that doesn't mean that there's not a place for us to speak to other people where we can minister to them. But we must, as Paul says, we must abhor evil and cling to what is good. Jesus did not sin. He did not deceive. As followers of Christ, we are to be truth tellers. We are not only to speak the truth in love, but we are to live out the truth. In other words, we are to conduct ourselves in a way that is consistent with the truth that we say governs our lives. It should not be the intent of our lives to deceive, to want it to appear that we are something that we are not. And we've all been guilty of that, have we not? Listen, I certainly have. I've certainly had my share of days, more than I would care to confess, when I've shown up in church, not in the pulpit, but shown up in church and had my Sunday best on, but in my heart, my Friday night worst was still in control. He did not sin. He did not deceive. He did not revile or threaten. Listen, I know our time is getting away from us here, and I'm going to come to the conclusion here before too long, but I want you to stay with me here. I want to say something this morning with a broken heart. I want to say something that I hope will not be taken the wrong way. And Pastor, I'm standing in your pulpit, so I say this very carefully. I say it as a citizen of this country. Our nation is being torn apart by so much division right now. The violence, the hatred of neighbor against neighbor. The way of Jesus is never the way of vengeance. It's never the way of vengeance. And here's what I want to say that might be controversial, and I don't mean it to be. I say it with a real burden this morning, that I have, over the last months and years, really, of my life, I have heard and seen things coming from Christians that are just so hateful. And I don't care about politics this morning. It's not about politics. But I tell you, some of us in the church are becoming so consumed with politics that it is changing who we are. If your politics is making you into a hateful person, then your politics are leading you away from Jesus. And Jesus is the one who said, "No one can serve two masters." To follow in the way of Jesus is to follow the one who still carries scars. Because when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten. Christ is our example. But listen, I've got to get here too, just briefly. Christ is our substitute. He bore our sins. Look at what Peter says. Peter says that Christ himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. If you look back at that verse, if you look at verse 24 there on the screen for a moment, it is so absolutely clear there that it is only in Jesus that our sins are absolved. It is only in Jesus that the weight of our sins are carried. It is only in Jesus that our sins are forgiven. And we, in a few moments, will come together, these two churches, and we will take the bread and we will take the juice. And listen, when we take those this morning, we should be reminded of Christ's example, that when he was reviled, he did not revile. When he suffered, he did not threaten. But may our remembrance go even further than that, dear ones. May it go to remember that he bore our sins in his body on the tree. You see the way that sentence is constructed? It leaves no doubt. Where are our sins taken care of? In his body on the tree. That's what we remember this morning. And yes, that's what we celebrate this morning. That Christ, in his deep love for us, has taken upon himself all of our sins, all of our vengeance, and all of our anger, and all of our rebellion, and all of the shaking of our fist at God, whether it be explicit or implicit. That weight of that sin has been placed upon his body once and for all. So we can come to the table this morning knowing that we are forgiven in Christ. That if our faith and trust is resting upon Jesus, then we are forgiven. Listen, there is nothing lacking in his sacrifice. There's nothing missing in his atonement. Do we understand that, church? That should impart joy to your soul this morning. It should give comfort to your heart that no matter what you have done, no matter how often you have done it, no matter how far you have gone, no matter into what back alleys you have wandered, Christ's sacrifice is sufficient. His body bore the justice of God for all of our sins. And there is nothing lacking. There is nothing missing in that sacrifice. I was so pleased to be able to fill in for Pastor Matthew today, and one of my responsibilities was to pick out the hymns. They probably thought, when is that bulletin ever coming? Because I just had two hymns to pick out, but that's always so hard for me. And I picked out a first hymn, and I said, no, I got to sing Holy, Holy, Holy. Then I picked out a second hymn, and I said, no, I want us to sing something about following Jesus. But the last hymn that I chose originally is still in my mind this morning, and it's those beautiful words that were written by Isaac Watts in that hymn, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." Today, when we come to take communion, would you survey that cross afresh and see Jesus both as your example and your substitute. But that cross, when we survey it, it does lead us to a surrender, doesn't it? Doesn't coming to the table call us to a commitment to Christ, a trust in Christ, a faith in Christ that causes us to allow our lives to be surrendered to Jesus so that we may be shaped and fashioned more into his image. Isaac Watts expresses it this way: were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. As we come to communion today, listen. There is no condemnation here, but there is a calling. And the calling is to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow Him. To follow Him means that He becomes your pattern. He becomes the exemplar of your life. Him and no one else is the one that we are called to obey and to model and to be like. May God help us by His grace to surrender afresh today to His Lordship over our lives. Would you pray with me? Before Pastor Matthew comes and leads us, I want to just take a moment of silence to prepare our hearts for this table. Now listen, I want to make it clear this morning for all who are here. This is about a sacrifice that Christ took for your sins and for my sins. This is the way of salvation. It is only through the cross that we can be saved from our sins. It is only through the cross that we receive eternal life. So if you're here today and you are living in the bondage and the captivity of sin, how I urge you to turn to Jesus. How I urge you to confess your sin before Him and ask Him to save you and ask Him to impart His life to you. And He will indeed do that. Let's take a moment. Prepare our hearts for the table together. Father, how we thank You that Your Son bore our sins and He modeled for us the life that we are to live by Your grace. Apart from You, we can do nothing. But by Your grace, Lord, may we, as we come to this table today, may we surrender ourselves afresh to You. May we give our lives to be shaped and fashioned in the way of Jesus and in no other way. May we return to Him today afresh as our Master and our Lord, the one we live to please by faith, the one that we live to be more like. In His name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Tim, for that wonderful message. We needed that in our church and also the world today. That's also one of the themes of the month that we chose. Mm. And if you follow our website, there will be a verse of the month. Mm. Every month I put up. And verse 24, He Himself bore our sins on the body of on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By His wounds we have been healed. It's a lot of, we have been studying the books, and Peter was one of the books that we studied. There is no other name under heaven given among men other than the name of Jesus Christ for salvation. Period. And thank you for affirming that today. And what a blessing it is to have Pastor Tim with us bringing the word today. As we go to the table, our church table is an open table. All are invited. No difference between age or color or gender. All are invited. If you believe in Jesus Christ as the only way to salvation, please come and join the church, join the table. This is the Lord's table, and this is not a church table. It's an open table. You're all invited. And let us all join together in this blessed sacrament that God has, Jesus has instituted for us to practice. There is a laminated sheet in the pew that you can follow that. That's our order of service. So, please follow that. If you need any more, we have some more here. Raise your hand if you need one. Christ the Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. We have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You have opened the way to eternal life through your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, suffered and died and rose from the dead, so that we can share eternity with you. So with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn, Holy, 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 Holy Lord, God of power and might.
Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night to which he gave himself for us, he took the bread. He gave thanks to you, and he broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, and he gave thanks to you, and said to his disciples, "Take, drink. From this, all of you, this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you, for the many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you can, and in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and drink. May them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the whole world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, O God, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory, that we will feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Now is the time to come forward as the ushers guide you. Please come and take up the Lord's table today. Thank you, pastors, for serving that communion here today, and we appreciate your administration of the Holy Communion. It is God's grace that we can join the Lord's table as one body united in one spirit. We are all children of God. Look different, speak different languages, but we are all one Father's children. So let us give thanks to God for this holy mystery that God has given us to practice. Let us pray. Eternal God, we give thanks to you for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself for us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Pastor Nelson will pray in Spanish.
Señor mi Dios, le damos gracias en esta preciosa mañana por ser nuestro Dios. Gracias por ese hermoso tiempo que usted nos permite. Reunidos todos, mi Dios, tomar la Santa Cena, recordando que un día la tomaremos en el cielo todos juntos, mi Dios, donde no habrá más nada de este mundo, mi Dios, estaremos delante de su presencia. Gracias por todo lo bueno y lo misericordioso que está con nosotros. Nos ponemos en sus manos en el nombre de Jesús. Amén.
The closing hymn is "Where He Leads Me, I Will Follow," which is on page 338 in the blue book. It will be also on the screen. If you are able, please stand for.
Jace. You want Jace to scroll it?
Yeah, Jace, you can scroll it. Please stand if you are able. people of God, there is a call to follow him. And also there's a promise that he will be with us wherever we go and where he leads. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Heavenly Father, and the everlasting comfort and fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you, now and forevermore. Amen. Go in peace.